Okay, the reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians, I lost my place, so I'm not sure. Oh, 9, 6 through 15, I think. Wait, hold on. Yes, okay. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower or bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
We are blessed to have our speaker today. Ethan Chance is going to share the word with us. So will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I ask your blessing on the reading and the sharing and the proclaiming of your holy word. May your word, coupled with your divine spirit, illuminate our hearts and minds and urge us and invite us into a life of obedience to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Ethan Chance.
How are you guys doing this morning? There we go. That's what I was hoping for. All right. Like Derek already said, my name is Ethan Chance. I'm a junior here at Barclay College. I'm majoring in theology. And part of this Homiletics 2 class is preaching in front of you guys, which is terrifying. But pray that the Lord would use it. Just a quick definition of homiletics. Homiletics, at its basic, would be the art or craft of preaching or writing sermons. And for this sermon, we're in the second week of my four-week series over 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 12. I chose this topic primarily for just to talk about giving and to kind of maybe open up a dialogue amongst us as brothers and sisters in the faith. So if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to start in verses 1, and we're going to go all the way up through 12. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up rich generosity. For if I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you excel also in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. You finish the work. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So for this, we're going to walk backwards. We're going to go from 12 up to 8. We're going to walk backwards. And I am not that great of a public speaker, so I'll be reading from a manuscript. So please bear with me. Often, when we talk about giving, we tend to do either one of two things. We either, one, avoid it like the plague, or two, feel that what we give may not be enough. There have been many times where myself and some friends have gone out to McDonald's and had our fill of spicy chickens, quarter pounders, and the like. And yet, when we run into those who are in need of money, we put our hands in our pockets, tell whomever it is walking up to us and asking for money that we have nothing to give them, and then proceed to go on with our day. There have also been many times when I've been out with friends again, because we love to eat. And we had to shoo those away for asking for something from us. I've often asked myself and others this question: why is it that we do that? Some people have said, well, they could be panhandling. Others have said, well, they could be trying to feed some sort of addiction or vice. But as a body of Christ, we aren't called to assume the motives of others, but we are called to give as we have been led. We often use excuses like this as a means to get out of giving, or just label it as discernment. Yet here we see Paul charging the Corinthians to give, not telling them to judge the motives of who it is they're giving to, but just to be faithful and to give. One of the primary ways that he calls them to give is in comparison to the churches in Macedonia. Earlier in chapter 8, we see that Paul is commending the churches in Macedonia because even in the midst of great trial, having been a more poor church, they were extremely eager to give. As the chapter goes on to say in verse 4, they were imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. He mentioned that first they gave themselves to God, then through the will of God, gave themselves to us. And as they were able. In light of this, Paul then goes on to challenge the church at Corinth to excel in this as they have in faith, knowledge, and speech. And that brings us to today's sermon. In verses 8 through 12, there seems to be a variety of things that can be discussed concerning the topic of giving. The first thing we will discuss this morning is verse 12. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Every time I've ever talked myself out of giving, it's been because I felt as though I hadn't had enough to give. How often is it we find ourselves in these positions? We feel that what we give can be mediocre at best when we don't have much. But when I look back at the Macedonian churches who were in poverty, this never stopped them from giving. For example, if you guys would also turn with me to Mark chapter 12, we see another example of giving kind of even in the midst of deep poverty. It'd be verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their abundance and their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." Here in this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus and the disciples watching people who were putting money into a treasury. There are many rich persons who would put in out of their abundance, but then there was a widow who was poor and put in everything that she had. And basically, other translations say two mites. Two mites will basically be like it says here, will be a few cents in our context. In response, you hear Jesus say to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given into the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty gave all that she had, her whole livelihood. Here we see a woman who, like the Macedonian churches, gave out of her poverty. I think that sometimes in our westernized view of Christianity, we lose this generous aspect of the Christian life. We have much, yet we stray away from giving. But we see a poor widow and a body of believers in Macedonia who don't have much, yet they willingly give what they have. While we understand that this letter was written and addressed to Christians thousands of years ago, I must ask, are we not called to do this today? Aren't we called to give to those who have a need, whether they reside among us or not? These are the questions I ask not only of the body of Christ, but of myself as well. Am I being a good steward even in times of great poverty, which seems to be quite often being a college student? Even when I have little, am I willing to give what little I have so that someone else may be blessed by it? A biblical example of this would be Paul in Philippians 4. If you guys would also like to turn there with me, we're going to be doing some turning today, if y'all don't mind. And verses 10 through 12 says this: I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secrets of being content in any and every situation. Right now, I want to focus primarily on the thought here in verse 10. Though you surely did care, and this is out of the New King James, but you lacked opportunity. I'm sure we would love to give more money. We would love to give more, like the example of the widow, the Macedonians, and us as college students. The resources aren't there. It's not about giving much, but it's about giving what you can. Another question I ask myself is, when giving, can I finish what I started? When discussing giving, usually the passion is great in the beginning. Like we're jumping around, we're happy, or we're like, yeah, Jesus, we're going to give stuff away, awesome. However, it often wanes over time. The passion dies out. Here in verses 10 and 11, we see Paul giving the church at Corinth advice in terms of them finishing what they had previously been so eager to begin. Not only telling them about their desire to do so, but reminding them that when the desire is there, so should the completion be as well. If the desire to give is there, but we don't follow through, then the desire really means nothing. I would compare this kind of attitude to one who plays sports but quits midway into the season. Initially, the desire and drive to compete and better oneself physically are there in the beginning, but when one realizes that the toll that it can take, sometimes one decides that the investment isn't worth it and quits. In a way, giving can be similar to this. The initial excitement is there in the beginning, but we tend to not see it through. But God's word teaches us that we are to see things through to the end in all facets of Christian life and ministry. In this sermon, giving as one is able and continuing what we have started. The last point I want to cover is the ultimate reason to give, the example of Christ Jesus himself. While we live in the tension of whether we will give or won't give, Jesus showed us what true giving looks like. In verse 9, we see Paul saying, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, while this verse isn't talking necessarily about giving monetarily, here we are. It illustrates the sincerity of Christ's love for us in that he gave all in order to save all who are in a place of spiritual poverty. Let me repeat that first, that little bit right there. He gave all in order to save all. Wasn't no half in, half out. It wasn't like, do I want to give? I'm so scared. He just did it. He was all in. We need to remember that our goal in giving is not so we can gain good Christian points or be an aesthetically pleasing Christian. Because if our walk is about being aesthetic Christians, then we're not walking in the way that we've been called to walk. Rather, our goal should be to follow the greatest example of all, and that's Jesus Christ. Now for the million-dollar question, what do we do with this information? Do we just check this chapel off our list of things to do, then proceed to go about our day? Or do we take some time to think about the topic that I've presented? It would be my hope that we, pay attention, we, not you, not just me, we as a body, that we would take some time and think about the topic of giving and look inwardly at our own lives, at how we give and the reason why we give. Ask God to place opportunities in front of you. Ask him to fill you with faith to give whatever he prompts you to give. Ask God to help you relearn what it means to truly give and give joyfully, not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of agape love. So as we're in the conclusion here, I want to encourage all of us, not just you guys, this is something for me too, to give joyfully. Oftentimes when we look at giving, we're not super excited about it. It makes us uncomfortable. But our lives as Christians are really hinged upon really in what ways on the giving of Christ and kind of through his giving, what is it that we give to people around us? Would you guys pray with me real quick? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come and be in your word. And just let's look at this topic of giving. Lord, when we think about the topic of giving and when we discuss the topic of giving, it's my hope that we would always be reminded of what it is that you gave for us. And through that mind, and through that frame of mind, we would respond to giving as it is that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, I'm going to introduce my boy Marcus. He's going to close us out with the song. Thank you guys for listening to me fumble through this sermon for a little while. I appreciate it. I'm not laughing too much. But really, guys, let's think about this topic of giving kind of as we go throughout our day. All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Amen. Let's thank Marcus for sharing with us today. And let's thank Ethan again for sharing the word with us. Grace and peace. You're dismissed.